And I describe in the Energy Healing Experiments book, for example, an experience I had with a healer who I call Suzanne in the book on the East Coast. And she was actually a clinical psychologist who was just learning about healing touch. This was in the mid-1990s. And a patient of hers called, very upset. It was a lawyer, and her husband had fallen off the roof. And he was in an emergency room, and he was in severe pain. And so Suzanne went to the hospital, and I was invited to come along. And he was in a room by himself, hadn't had any medication yet, hadn't been x-rayed, severe pain. And Suzanne said to me, she said, Gary, would you mind taking his wife out and giving her some comfort? And I'm going to see if I can do some healing energy with him. Of course, I didn't know what this was. So I took the gentleman's wife out. But I positioned her in such a way that I could look over her shoulder to see what Suzanne was doing. And I noticed that Suzanne was, for example, taking her hands, not touching the man's body, but just sort of passing it over his head and other parts of his body. And then she took her hand and she and sort of waved it near the man's wrist. She actually took her finger, I later learned it's called the laser technique, and pointed it and actually drilled. And the image that I had when she was sort of drilling in the air was, you know what happens when you take your finger and you put it near your head as if somebody's crazy?
Right.
Well, that's the image that I had. Anyway, I came back into the room 15 minutes later with the wife, and there is the man smiling like a Cheshire cat. And he had claimed that his pain had virtually disappeared. Virtually disappeared. Now, no, he was not about to play tennis. He ultimately did have a broken wrist. But his pain had vanished. And the question that I had was, where did his pain go? Was this just some sort of massive placebo effect? Was this would have just have gone away by itself? Or was Suzanne doing something with her energy and with her consciousness that was contributing to his pain relief?
But now, in a way, aren't those kind of two different things? I mean, the idea of with energy, reading your book too, I was just fascinated with the different versions of different approaches you had to this. But let's just stay with the energy.
Sure.
If it's something that she's transmitting
right.
from her body to his body at a cellular level,
right.
that's one thing. But the conscious part of it too can be something else, can't it? I mean, just the very thought, for example, just I'll talk off the top of my head. That she was there and caring for him
right.
and demonstrating affection and no fear of his injuries and calming him and distracting him from his pain, could that not just be enough to increase, say, his natural endorphin level and therefore making the pain go away?
Absolutely. In fact, that was one of the fundamental questions. Was it just simply her loving and comforting presence, or was it something more than that? Was it actually involving her energy and maybe even her conscious intentions, which, by the way, and at a later point in the book I talk about this, where she could actually be doing this long distance with the, you know, healings where and I report this early in the book, where healings could take place hundreds or thousands of miles away. And where even in certain cases where the patient isn't even conscious that the healing intentions are being provided.
All right, so let's talk about one of these experiments. Give an example of a kind of experiment you could do that would prove that, you know, you gave your observation about the woman and your friend, and that's cool. But all right, so let's where did the rubber hit the road on this? How can you prove that her twirling of her finger over an injury would create a some sort of subatomic healing process?
Okay. Well, let's start with the first question, which is whether or not, for example, if we move our hands or move any part of our body in a particular way, are we actually generating an electromagnetic field? Is that electromagnetic field, does that travel across from one person to another? And can the other person serve as an antenna for this kind of a signal? And I describe in the book experiments we did where we actually had people under controlled conditions moving their hands a fixed distance in space, up and down, I think it was 3 or 4 inches. The exact distance is not important at this moment. And they would move it up and down, over an electrode box, which is where, for example, EEG electrodes would be attached. So notice right now what we're doing is we're dealing with the electrode box itself. There are no electrodes actually attached to the box. The box is just sitting there. But that box, by wire, of course, is plugged into this very sensitive microvolt amplifier. And what we predicted was that due to what's called an electrostatic body motion effect, that when a person would move their hand up and down, that this would actually create a magnetic field. And that magnetic field would actually be picked up, would travel through the air, reach the place where the holes were, where the wire would actually plug in. It would then be carried by the wire into the amplifier, because remember, this electrode box has wires that go into the input of the amplifiers. And then this would actually be displayed on the screen. And you could actually document very beautifully that to move is to create an electromagnetic field. Now, once you've documented that that occurs, and that's easily replicable, then the next thing to do is the question is, to what extent can another person actually be picking up that signal? So, for example, when you move your hand, let's say, up and down over a person's head, does their head actually pick up that signal? And is that signal transferred through the person's body? And we actually did experiments where we show one of the things that happens with normal electrical signals is that it decreases with the what's called the square of the distance. In other words, the further you move away from an antenna, the smaller the signal is that reaches the antenna. And you can actually show that it decreases over distance, which we did. Then what we did was we showed that if a subject, in this case the antenna person, took and put their hands over the antenna, over the electrode box, but were not touching it, and now the sender waved his hand up and down either over the person's head or over their other hand that was 3 or 4 feet away from the actual antenna box, you would see a dramatic increase in the size of the signal, which then told us that the person was actually receiving the signal, not just the one who was generating it, but the other person was receiving it. It was traveling through their body and then being picked up by the actual electromagnetic amplifiers. So here we're starting with a very simple but elegant way to verify that these signals are connecting us all the time. And this is just one of a variety of electrical signals which most of us are aware of.